His Own Voice is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
For purposes of clarity and outright honesty in discussing proposed national health insurance plans, I shall refer to them as socialized medicine, for that's what is really being proposed. A series of regional meetings sponsored by the Department of HEW has been scheduled, and the first one took place recently in Washington. The hearings, of course, have to do with socialized medicine for America. If the Washington meeting was an indication of things to come, the only question to be decided is which proposal for socializing health care do we get? There didn't seem to be anyone present putting in a plug for the system we've been using, which happens to offer the best medical care in the world. Let me ask you, do you think there's a health care crisis in the United States? If the polls are correct, 9 out of 10 of you first said yes. But now let me ask you about yourself. Do you have ready access to a doctor if you need one? Are you relatively near to hospitals or medical centers if you should be in need of the services they offer? Would it be impossible for you to get medical help in a reasonable time in case of an emergency? Again, if the polls are correct, 9 out of 10 of you answered yes to those questions. In other words, 9 out of 10 of you have been conned into believing there is a health care crisis, but 9 out of 10 of you think it applies to someone else. We have the highest ratio of doctors and nurses to patients in all the world. Less than 0.5% of our people live in counties where there is no hospital or medical treatment center, but most of those aren't more than 25 miles from such a facility. The LA Times recently ran a pro-con set of articles on socialized medicine. They used the other name for it. The advocate for it ranted about greed in the healthcare field. He ended up with proposals for tens of thousands of new doctors and nurses, all trained at taxpayers' expense, every doctor and dentist on government salary, public ownership of all drug and medical equipment companies, and then said all of this could be provided for only 80% of present healthcare costs. That must have been his laugh line. Total healthcare costs last year were $140 billion, a tidy sum. But Senator Kennedy and Congressman Cormann's plan is priced by HEW at $248 billion. The second most popular plan, and one which I'm sorry to say some defeatists in the Medical Association have caved in on, would cost $243 billion. Then there's one the insurance companies think they could live with, and perhaps on, which would cost $234.5 billion. All of these are from studies by HEW, which of course is heart and soul in favor of socialized medicine. And yet our crisis-ridden present health care system costs around $100 billion less than the best government can come up with. Maybe there's a clue to these contrasting prices in some statistics about patients in government-run hospitals and in private hospitals. Medical patients spend an average of 8 days in private hospitals. The same kind of patient in our veterans' hospitals linger 26 and a half days. Nursing costs per private patient average $218. In the VA hospitals, it is $580 of our tax dollars. Why don't we let well enough alone? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in His Own Voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Well, good afternoon. This is Al Fonzi. Welcome to Sound Off this afternoon. Well, I guess you could probably guess what I'm going to talk about today. And I'm going to start off talking about, obviously, the verdict against Donald Trump. Before I get to that specifically, I want to talk about something that preceded that verdict. This is not the first time something like this has happened. Obviously, there have been a lot of miscarriages of justice, and this was obviously a gross miscarriage of justice. But I'm going to go back to 1895 to a case in France where a French army officer by the name of Alfred Dreyfus was accused of treason by the French general staff. Now, what had happened, there was a spy in the German general, in the French-German staff, a German officer, or a Frenchman selling stuff to the Germans, and they found out about it, but they didn't want the embarrassment because the French army had lost the last war they had with Germany, and the French army and its honor were at stake, so they wanted a scapegoat. Alfred Dreyfus was Jewish. He was a perfect scapegoat. He had a perfect record. He'd never done anything wrong. They called him in one day, and then they arrested him and charged him with high treason and basically stacked evidence, put evidence in his home and things like that. He was court-martialed, convicted, and sent to Devil's Island, which is a small island off the coast of South America, basically a hellhole. He was sentenced there for life in prison. Now, he was innocent. He protested his innocence vigorously, but nobody wanted to listen to him, and it created a real furor in France. The people were angry. They hated him. All the hatred of France, all the anti-Semitism in France came to the surface. People were attacked. Shops were burned, things like that. But there was another man by the name of Emile Zola who looked at the case, and he looked at some of the evidence, and he smelled a rat, a dead fish, basically, and he began to investigate. And over a period of several years, he conducted a very vigorous investigation, and he uncovered the fact that there was another officer by the name of Esterhaus, who was the most likely spy, and he was eventually able to prove it. And he wrote a number of exposés in French press. The army attacked him. They accused him of slander and treason himself. But eventually, the new French president, president of France, recognized what happened and commuted the sentence of Captain Dreyfus, and he was brought back to France and rehabilitated, promoted to major, and he served out the rest of his career in the army. But he was an innocent man convicted of what we can say a felony. Donald Trump is an innocent man convicted of a felony by a rigged court, in spite of what the president just said on national television. The president said you shouldn't question this verdict. It was a fair verdict. It was a fair process. No, it wasn't. Mr. President, as usual, you don't know what you're talking about, sir, with all due respect to your office. You don't know anything about this except what your handlers tell you. But I'll go back and I'll just document some of this. You know, first of all, one of the reasons why I believe this was nothing more than a judicial lynching. And I would say that Donald Trump had as much chance of getting a fair trial in this venue than a black man would have getting a fair trial who'd been accused of assaulting a white woman in Mississippi in 1925. That's the kind of venue he went into. Now, the venue itself, New York City, is 85 to 90% Democrat, perhaps more. You have a tainted jury pool. How can you possibly get a, quote, jury of his peers out of that, especially as controversial as Trump is? Secondly, the selection of the judge. Now, judges are supposed to be selected at random for these trials. They have a drum, they roll, they pull names out. Now, this is interesting. This judge, basically, he was picked for this trial, but he was also picked for two other trials regarding Trump associates related to these types of cases. That's not supposed to happen. Statistically, that's virtually improbable. That's just not only improbable for two cases, it's almost impossible for three. He's an acting judge appointed to this position, so he wasn't really in the usual pool of judges. Somebody made sure that this judge, who hates Trump, was picked. And this guy, he's a contributor to the Biden campaign, which is a violation of New York State's ethics laws. He should have recused himself. He refused to do so. His daughter is making money off this. She works for a firm that basically has been profiting to the tune of millions of dollars, raising fundraising off of this case and other things like it. He had no business in that courtroom. Jurisdiction. Now, one of the things in this trial was is they talked about federal election law being involved and somehow a violation of that. They took a misdemeanor record-keeping offense for not putting something in the right column for reporting purposes for business things. And Trump did not have anything to do with that. He had accountants and things to do that. And they turned in the statute of limitations for prosecuting that. It had long since expired, but that they could attach it to another crime, they could make it a felony. And that's what they did. So they decided, well, there must be no violation of federal election law. No state has ever been able to prosecute violations of federal election law. And if you think the feds are going to give up that, they're not going to give up that any more than they are to the states to close the borders or engage in immigration law into this country. They do this all the time. The Biden administration, they've been at war with Texas for some time, getting judges to say, you can't do that. That's a federal responsibility. Federal election law is a federal responsibility, not a state court. They had no jurisdiction at all, but they went ahead anyway. The indictment. The indictment of Trump is supposed to be very specific. You're supposed to know what crime you committed, who your accuser is, and what you're specifically law you're specifically charged with violating. That wasn't in the indictment. To this day, distinguished law professors from Georgetown University School of Law and Harvard University cannot tell you what specific crime that Trump did. And at the end of the verdict, they couldn't specify it either. And that, you know, it's still not clear. Gag order. You know, the prosecution team and all the witnesses against Trump were allowed to talk freely about Trump throughout the entire proceeding. But Donald Trump and his defense team were gagged and said, you can't talk about it. And he was fined repeatedly because he crossed whatever lines the judge drew for that day that said, you can't cross this line, trying to defend himself against spurious charges. Okay, I got a caller, so I'm going to go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Al, you're talking about a good subject. You know, the whole thing with the Trump persecution, I call it, is not only the statute of limitations ran out, number one. Number two, they didn't bring it to federal court where they should have, because the federal courts could take their jurors from all over southern New York and whatever district they're in, so they couldn't get a conviction there. They rigged it. They put a judge, appointed a judge to it, and then some of his statements during the trial. I mean, this could be overturned for sure, but the bad thing is that it makes our whole judiciary system look ridiculous, and I think it's the worst. Our judiciary system is the worst part of our entire three pegs of government. You know, it's worse than executive, worse than legislative, because you can vote those people out. But the judiciary, no. And it's set for money, and it's set for politics. And you're talking about Dreyfus. I think that this compares to me as Woodrow Wilson. Remember when he's prosecuting people? Well, of course we weren't around, but in history books, he's prosecuting people because they were un-American, because they disagreed with him. He had Klan in the White House. He was against women's suffrage, and then he had a stroke, kind of, and then his wife was basically president for 2 years. So it reminds me of that personally. And Trump's now raising a lot more money. I heard that they raised like $35 million just within hours of this verdict. So
$37.9 million, and it crashed the website yesterday. Small donors.
Well, I'm giving him money too, and I'm giving money to Kerry Lake, and I'm giving money to the man, I can't remember his name, is running to Montana. He's getting money from me too. So I'm giving it to all those people. I'm not giving much, but, you know, I'm giving what I can give.
Well, most of us can't give much, but a million people giving what they can makes a big difference. And I think that's starting to shake them up. It literally crashed the website for giving money to him yesterday. And people are still taking things. Tomorrow's payday for me, so I'm going to send money to him as well. And I normally don't send money to him. I vote for him, and I tend to do that. But now I'm mad. I'm angry because this is a stain on the judicial system and the whole legal process that we have in this country. It was a kangaroo court. It was obvious from that from the beginning. In fact, I heard there's a society of Australian kangaroos that are objecting to the whole process of being associated with this. But anyway.
I would, too. And the other thing, too, Al, is just look at this. Who's next? Who else can they go for? It's really stain on New York, and people are leaving New York left and right. You run into them all the time. Number one reason they're leaving because of taxes. Number two, crime. And then the same prosecutor doesn't even prosecute five or six individuals that beat up New York City police officers.
Yeah.
They didn't even put bail up for them.
This is a white collar. This was a records crime. They tried, this is a hush money trial. No, it's about record keeping. That's all this was. It's a misdemeanor, except that Alvin Bragg, who campaigned as a prosecutor, he wanted to campaign to become DA to get Donald Trump. So did the New York State Attorney General. And she had the first trial where they tried to fine him hundreds of millions of dollars. And that was a bogus trial because the judge refused to take exculpatory evidence into account and cited Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million. Any realtor says it's worth over 100 easily. And back then it was worth that, and it's worth a lot more now. But things like that are going on in New York. And they're saying right now, if you live in New York, you're a conservative, if you live in any blue state, you better think about leaving if you're involved in politics, because they're going to come after you. If they pose any kind of threat, if this kind of decision can stand, we're all in danger. We're all in danger,
well,
and
think,
the Republic is dying if that's the case.
Well, I think Trump's going to win by a landslide. And he was my first choice. I want to draw DeSantis first. But, you know, he is the person. He's way better than Biden, and Biden's basically brain dead, corrupt. You know, what about all this money he took from foreign actors? He and his son, this entire crime family, basically, and they should be basically what he's doing is basically treason. You take money from foreign government to sway your views. And,
we'll see how that works out.
When's that going to come? Hopefully we're going to have some Biden trials coming up, and they're going to be a lot more factual and correct than this, but they've got the evidence on them.
Well, we'll see. It's supposed to be in June. I have another call waiting. I need to go take that call, but hey, thanks for your call today. All right, bye. Oh, we dropped the call. Darn. Call back, please. Please call back right away. So this is a real stain on the American judicial system. You're supposed to have fair – the judge is supposed to be the referee. He's supposed to make sure the rights of the defendant are protected. throughout the process, as well as the legal process going forward. He was heavily weighted on the side of the prosecution. He made sure. And this is how he did it. Not just a gag order. He did things like withholding, the prosecution withheld the witness list from the defense. And the judge said, well, that's okay. You know, you need time to prepare these witnesses. You have to know everything you can find out about them so you can basically ask them the right kind of questions and not be surprised. And they dropped these on him continually. The judge said it was all right. When the defense objected to something, he overwhelmingly refused to sustain defense objections to things the prosecution was allowing to happen, like some of the testimony from Stormy Daniels. They were saying, this is salacious, we don't need this, and he said, oh, let it go through. He did the opposite when it came to the prosecution. When they raised objections, they almost universally approved them. I think one time he may have basically sustained an objection. And when he did speak to the defense team, he changed his tone of voice. And this is not from me. This is from some very distinguished law professor who said he was hostile towards the defense. We have a caller back. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on.
He changed his tone of voice. And this is not from me. This is from some very distinguished law professor who said he was hostile towards the defense.
Yeah, we got some background noise here. I'm not sure what they're doing here. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, so look, you know, the result of this verdict it confirmed originally the charges, you know, made all of us, you know, somewhat incredulous to the charges. But now that the verdict has been carried through with a guilty verdict, look how it makes us look internationally. I mean, he has not only disgraced, you know, all of us here in this country, as far as conservatives are concerned, but look at the rest of the world that looks at the United States. They're thinking, you know, they're no better than the banana republics that are around the world. And I've made up my mind. I'm going to put U.S. Banana Republic on the back of my truck because it hurts to see the bias. And, you know, here it is. Biden was supposed to be the uniter. He was going to bring America together. That man, along with Obama, has split this country so sharply that it's to the point you can't even talk to the other party at all. You can't reason with them. They have no ability to use critical thinking. They're totally brainwashed by their CNN and the rest of those MSNBCs. They're just pathetic. And then I'm wondering, you know, what's going to happen November 5th? I mean, short of Trump being shot, I mean, he should be a shoo-in to go in.
Well, he's up 5 or 6 points in the polls from when he was before the verdict, so that's interesting how that holds. You know, you're talking about the opposition. You know, I find them to be intellectually dishonest. I was listening to Marie Harp on TV a little while ago, and said, oh, this was a jury of his peers. There's nothing wrong with this case. She practically recited exactly what the president said in his little speech this afternoon. But they're not intellectually honest, and I've been raising the points that raised not by myself, but by people like Jonathan Turley, a distinguished professor of law at Georgetown, Alan Dershowitz, who's a Democrat and a Harvard University law professor emeritus. I mean, these guys know constitutional law. They know these procedures, and they are appalled, absolutely appalled by what's happening, as are numerous federal prosecutors and distinguished jurists all over the country outside of this little bubble in New York City. You know, New York is a Democratic-controlled state. They have partisanship. You know, they don't have nonpartisan-type elections and things like that, and their civil service is all partisan as well. So I'm concerned about the appeals process because these appeals judges are also pretty much Democrats who owe people things. And if they step out of line, their political careers can go sideways in a heartbeat. You know, he had law firms that refused to represent Donald Trump or anyone associated with him for the simple reason that they didn't like him. And if you represent Donald Trump, you get fired. And they tell you, you take this case, you're not working for us anymore. And clients are coming and say, your firm takes this, we're going to drop your account. So there's a lot of bias against Trump in the judicial system in that part of the world. And, you know, he can't get a fair trial. A fair trial for him, they move him to Kansas and see what happens there and let people, you know, have a real judge, a real federal judge, look at the problem if there's a federal election issue, which there was not. You don't change the rules. You know, Americans like people playing by the rules. You don't change the rules in the middle of the game. And they did this, too, with this nonsense. You had an expired statute of limitations on the original issue with the payments and who paid what to whom and when they did it and why. And then they went, and, well, if we can attach this to a felony, we can add another crime, we can make it a felony, and the statute of limitations is extended so we can charge them. And that's what Alvin Bragg did. And all these jurors just say, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's never been done before either. What is this mystery crime he's supposed to commit? And you never made that clear in the indictment or anything else. And that was really horrendous damage to the American judicial system when they did this. Go ahead.
So considering all that bias, I want, maybe you can pick up on it later after the commercial, but I believe the Secret Service will not allow him to be jailed.
Well, I'll get to that after the break.
They're okay. Charged to protect the president or
right.
The future president.
We got to go for the break, but thanks.
Davis Body Shop wants you to know what to do after an accident. Make sure you exchange insurance information and get the agent's name and phone number. Know the year, make, model, license number, and color of the other vehicle involved. Get the name, address, and phone number of all witnesses and write down the police officer's name and badge number who investigated. If you have a smartphone, take pictures. Then call your insurance agent and let them know that your car will be repaired at Davis Body Shop. Some insurance companies try to tell you where to take your vehicle. Remember, it's your choice as to where your vehicle is repaired. Davis Body Shop will assist you in completing your insurance paperwork and make sure it's filed properly. Davis Body Shop on El Camino Real at Atascadero with an Enterprise car rental facility and at Paso Chevrolet on Theater Drive.
Elite RV and Boat Storage in Paso Robles is now open. They're not your typical open-air dirt lot. Elite RV and Boat Storage is fully fenced, fully paved, and each space is covered. Their state-of-the-art facility includes security and video cameras monitored 24/7 with motion detectors safeguarding every covered parking space, a professional RV wash station with spot-free rinse, vacuum station, trickle charging, air compressor, a dump station, propane, accessory store, and they offer free ice. Open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Don't let your RV or boat get sun bleached, allow decal fading, or let it deteriorate in the dust.
Hi, this is Kit. Trust your RV and boat to locally owned and operated Elite RV and Boat Storage at 4210 Right Way off of Dry Creek Road next to the Estrella Warburgs Museum. Call Elite RV and Boat Storage at 805-801-3889 or online at EliteRVandStorage.com. Ask about a free month.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecued tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
Okay, we're back. Phone lines are open, 238-5775. We've got about 5 minutes before the long break. Talking about some of the bias on the part of the judge running this case. You know, I talked about his hostile voice tone, according to the law professors that watched this. But also, he permitted relevant, salacious testimony by Stormy Daniels, a prostitute in this record-keeping this case. It's a record-keeping case. It's not about her and whatever she did with Donald Trump. And the defense acknowledged they made a payment already. That was done. Yeah, they paid her some money. They didn't have to have her testify because all she did was go into very graphic detail about their sexual encounter, so much so it was embarrassing to some of the people on the news who talked about it. No relevance whatsoever to the issue. It came out as she was into this for the money. She denied having any affair for years, and then she came back figuring to make a lot of money, and she's probably made as much as $1 million on it. And her motivation, by the way, for her occupation in the porn industry, she says, I can make a lot of money doing what I do. That was more important than anything else to it. So it's about money for her. They also threw in a charge of tax evasion at the end with no opportunity for the defense to rebut that because of this payment thing that was made. So he was denied opportunities to defend himself at different times. They denied the right to put on to stand an expert witness on the federal election law. Former commissioner of the Federal Elections Commission was prepared to testify on Trump's behalf. The judge says, no, he can't. He's not relevant to this, even though they were trying to tie this to a violation of federal election law. And they had another witness by the name of Costello, who spoke on the news at length about Mr. Cohen, who was the convicted perjurer and employee, the key prosecution witness here, convicted perjurer and a prostitute. That's a great case there. And he said, yeah, this guy lied. He told me he was lying about Trump. And he tried to testify, and the judge cut him off continuously, then emptied the courtroom at one point when the man showed his exasperation at being cut off and threatened him with contempt. So there's a lot of interference on the part of this judge to put the thumb on the scales on the side of the prosecution to make sure there was conviction. And then he gave these jury instructions. His jury instructions were a blatant violation of the constitutional right to have a jury come to a unanimous verdict, because in the instructions he basically said, you don't have to come to a unanimous verdict on the different elements of this crime. If three of you think this, and four of you think that, and three more think this over here, as long as you more or less agree, you can reach a consensus that there was a violation, you can say guilty on that. And those guys, I mean, we've been here for 6 weeks, you know. Let's just vote guilty and go home. And that's kind of what they did. The jury was not sequestered, by the way. There was a gag order, keep Trump from talking, prosecution, witness, they could talk as much as they wanted. Do you really think these people went home and didn't watch the news? They didn't talk about this with friends and neighbors, having a wife or someone else? You better not let Trump off, or you do, don't come home. You don't think that happened somewhere along the line? His rights were grievously violated under the Sixth and Seventh Amendments of the Constitution. And there's cases to this, you know, especially regarding the last point about the unanimity. In 2020, there was a decision, Ramps versus Louisiana. There's no question that unanimity of decision applies to all state and local cases. There's another one, Andrus versus the U.S. The Sixth and Seventh Amendment applies to all issues that are involved in these cases. So there's two Supreme Court decisions. One of them is reasonable, as well as Sixth Amendment right to know who your accusers are and the charges that have been brought against you. All those things were denied to Donald Trump. This was a judicial lynching for all practical purposes, and this is a stain and a shame upon the American system of justice, and I put that right on the back of this judge, and I hope at some point, somewhere, some appeals court judge makes sure that the justice is served. And I'm really frightened that they're going to send Donald Trump to prison. They're going to do this because this judge hates him that much. People are saying, oh, no, he'll just get home detention. Well, the sentencing date is July 11th, 4 days before the national convention. This judge, your dollars to donuts, this judge is going to send Donald Trump to Rikers Island. He's going to put him in handcuffs, have him led away. He's going to deny his request to appeal, to remain free, pending appeal, which is be a normal in this type of case. It's something you do. But conviction of 36 felonies, they're not going to let him walk out free. And the objective, remember, is to keep him from successfully becoming president of the United States any way they can. They don't care if they have to shred the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and basically silence, you know, 200 million Americans who think Donald Trump is not getting a fair deal, or the 180-some million Americans that voted for him in the past. Not 180, about 80-plus million Americans, adults, who voted for him. The republic is at stake, and I hope people start thinking about this and really wake up, because if they can do this to a billionaire who's also the president of the United States, what can they do to you and I? So, we'll be back in about 8 minutes, folks.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.